you want to start turning your Bibles to Proverbs, Proverbs chapter number 11, this is a passage that I've been studying recently, and you know, as you're turning there, sometimes people, they'll look at, you know, they call us flyover country here in Indiana. They just fly from the west coast to the east coast and vice versa. Nothing ever really happens in Indiana, except for maybe the past month or so, when all of the world seems to be looking at Indiana, and particularly the political arena. And last Sunday, or two Sundays ago, I get a call from the New York Times, and I thought it was fake, honestly. I get this email, says the New York Times is calling you, and I thought, yeah, right. And it was. It was the New York Times calling me, and they wanted to talk to me about our governor. And what he said was, he said, I want to ask you some questions about the governor's faith. And my reply was, the governor's faith is his own faith. The best person to answer questions about the governor's faith is the governor himself. Any other questions? Well, he said, I would just like to talk to you about, you know, I've seen he's been at some of your events and whatnot. And I'd like to ask you some questions about, you know, some events that he's been at. I said, that's fine. So, we talked a little bit, and I just kept it within the confines of what he had said. So I just gave him all the public statements that the governor had said at our events. And I didn't give him anything. He tried, you know, hey, what about these private Bible studies that are going on at his residence? I said, that wouldn't surprise me. You know, I'm just not going to give you a thing. You know, it's just sometimes it's hard. You know, they'll bait you and they'll try to get you. But just, you know, just stay with what you know. Stay within the confines. So just stay with the truth. Don't try to make up stuff. Don't try to. And so thankfully, I had given him a quote that some reporter had said about the governor, that where he had said some politicians wear their faith on their sleeve, and Governor Pence wears the whole Jesus jacket. And so I told him that, and he put that in his article and didn't say a word about me, and so I thought it was a success. And any day that I make it and I'm not in the news, that is a successful day. What the Lord is doing in Indiana, I don't know. I don't know exactly what He's doing. I don't know where I will be next week or next year. I'm glad that I have an eternity secure. I know where I'm going when I die, and I'm thankful for the Word of God. And I want to talk today about just trying to be a help to you in these preachers' fellowships. I just want to be a help, and I like to come, and it's one of those things where you come to preachers' fellowship so you can steal the sermons, right? I mean, that's the whole idea, right? No, I'm kidding. It's not really the whole idea, but I do go away with some messages sometimes. But anyway, Proverbs chapter number 11, and starting in verse number 10. Now, Proverbs 11, verse number 10. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. And when the wicked perish, there is shouting. Verse number 11. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. And I wanted to look at this. We've been going through the book of Proverbs in our State House Bible studies, and to be able to look in Scripture while you're sitting in a place that is a place of civil government, a place of civil power, it makes Scripture look a little different sometimes. And very clearly here, in verses number 10 and 11, he is addressing civil government without a doubt. He's talking about the city. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth. And then he says in the next verse, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. Reminds me of another verse, doesn't it? With righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. But here he says, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. How are you living in such a way that your city, your community, your county, your town, your state, your nation is being exalted? How are you living? In what way are you blessing your city? In what way are you doing things in your city that bless it? And I think one of the things, and this is not my main text, one of the things you can do as you want to bless your city, one of the things you need to be doing is praying for your city. Pray. Because it's interesting, it seems to be something audible, because he says in the converse to it, by the blessing of the city, the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but then he says, but is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. And so it seems something is coming out of the mouth. And so I think for the believer, for the Christian, The way you can bless your city is by praying for it. And then second, likened to it, would be that you would encourage those who are in civil government. It is such a blessing for a person in civil government to receive a note that says that they're praying for them. I will tell you that. I've said it for 12 years. I'll continue to say it. And I hope each one of you are taking that opportunity to build a relationship with those in your civil government, in your city, and so that it has a way of reaching them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And believe me, honey works a whole lot better than vinegar. It really does. Let's just be super sweet. And we should be sweet because sweetness ought to just flow out of our mouth because we have Jesus inside. And Jesus is the sweetest thing ever, right? And it just comes out of us. So by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. Then I want to look here, I'm getting down to 14, but 12, he that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. My grandpa used to tell, he actually told my dad once, you know that old statement that says, it's better to be thought of a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. And so that's just so this particular passage, this proverb kind of lends towards that, just hold your peace. You'll be considered a man of understanding if you just be quiet. And then verse 13, a talebearer revealeth secrets. A talebearer, what's a talebearer? Well, I'm not going to say which brother. I have three brothers. But one of them was told, and he was told to look up all the scripture verses and memorize all of them that had to do with a talebearer. So a talebearer is someone that is basically, when we were younger, that would be called a tattletale, right? Where they see things and then they go and tell, they just did something or other. And so a talebearer reveals secrets. A tattler, someone who really is saying things they shouldn't be saying. And so that should not be a part of the believer and part of the church itself. He's of a faithful spirit, concealeth the matter. Then look at this verse number 14, main text here. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Now there, I understand, there's a lot of qualifiers to this, and you don't want to take this and isolate Scripture. We don't want to take a verse and jump off and build everything on one verse. Let Scripture interpret Scripture. But here, I want you to look at this, and where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. There's also an old Asian proverb that says this, he who builds to every man's advice will have a crooked house. And so if you're taking advice from everybody and you just apply it all, so I understand that there are times when everybody's advice is not, you don't need to use it all, but there are people that you as a pastor, you as a leader, and when I say leader, I'm addressing every single one of you. All of us lead someone, okay? All of you influence someone. And so no man is an island, as the old saying is, and that actually reflects Scripture, that no man lives or dies to himself. So each one of you influence someone. And so here when he's saying, in the multitude of counselors there is safety, leaders need to be careful that they're always listening and seeking good counsel. And this specifically, I think he's talking about, because he's talking about the people. And I think he's talking specifically about leadership and civil government, more than likely here is that the context. And so we would think a poor leader, if they didn't get good counsel and surround themselves with good people, right? And something you need to be praying for your leaders, for your civil government leaders, as they choose staff members, just pray that they choose someone that gives wise and good advice. Because so many times decisions are made based upon what that counselor or advisor says. And so be praying for your leader's staff and that council, those close advisors, those chiefs of staff, those people that are around them. And so a leader needs to seek good counsel. And then also a leader needs to give good counsel. Because it's just a simple fact of the matter, as you influence people, people will ask you your thoughts on the matter. And I can tell you there are so many times, and you as a pastor will know this, someone will come and sit in your office or have dinner with you, and they'll sit across from you, and they will just dump all of this stuff on you, and they'll say to you, now what do I do, Pastor? And you have no idea. I mean, you just look at that and say, that is just a mess. And I don't know exactly what to tell you. That's what you're thinking in your mind. That's not what you say out loud. If you really don't have a clue as to what to say, the first thing you say is, well, let's pray about that right now. And in your prayer, you're saying, God, I need something to say. Please help me. That's what you're saying. And so you're asking the Lord to help. And what's amazing to me is that as you are crying out to the Lord, I love the Nehemiah passage because he has spent literally months in prayer. So he's had all of that prayer so that when the time comes, when the king says, what do you want, Nehemiah? And it's a surprise. When that person is sitting across from you saying, I need your advice right now. Tell me what to do, Pastor. Tell me what to do, my dear Christian brother or sister. When that moment comes, you have spent months in prayer with the Lord. And it does say of Nehemiah in that passage, it says, I said, Lord, help. But if you're living on those momentary Lord help prayers, you're going to fall. There were months spent in prayer before he ever arrived in the courtroom of the king. And then he sent up a quick prayer. And so you're in that moment and you send up that quick prayer, Lord, give me help. And I'll tell you, it is the most wonderful thing. As you begin to speak and the Lord gives you the words, because you didn't have any words a second ago, right? Remember? I don't know what to say. But you're praying, you send up that quick prayer, Lord, help me. And then you begin to speak. And there are times when I have spoken to someone who has asked me for advice, and I wish I had a recorder or I wish I had written it down. Because it was like, that was so good. But it had nothing to do with me. That was the Lord's words. And so a wise leader will seek good counsel, but he'll also give good counsel. And always be attentive to the Holy Spirit's leadership in that. One of the other things about leadership in this is interesting to me, that where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Pastor, have you ever had a moment where someone gave you unsolicited advice? It was just one of those times when they just came up and just gave you it was a word from the Lord. That's what they said anyway. And, you know, they thought you needed to hear. But there are also times when unsolicited advice needs to be heeded. When you didn't necessarily ask for it, but that close, and what I'm talking about is those ones that are really close to you. And they've been watching your life. Now, several years ago, someone came up to me and said, Brother Matthew, I just want to tell you, I've been watching you, and I think you're getting a little bit too big for your britches. There's a little bit of pride creeping into the way you're speaking. And they pointed out a couple areas. And Pastor, let me tell you, do not dismiss that kind and gentle advice and counsel. Because it took a lot for that person to say that to you. Unless they're of the kind I mentioned earlier, where they'll tell you everything. But that one that is a close friend and brother, that one that really cares about you, and they come to you, dear pastor, and say a word of counsel and advice, you need to be sensitive to that. Listen carefully to that unsolicited advice that may keep you back on track or get you back on track. Because I, as much as anyone else, I am not perfect. And so I also need people to be able to talk and speak into my life. It is a bad sign when a civil government leader surrounds themselves with what we call yes men. It's a bad sign. You are in for a world of hurt. In Scripture, Rehoboam, he does that, doesn't he? He decides he's wanting to figure out what to do with the taxes, and his dad really stuck it to the people. And so he went and asked the older folks, people that really cared about the country, they really cared about him, what do you think? He says, what do you think I ought to do? They said, well, I would lessen the tax burden. I would lighten it up a little bit and go a little easier on the people. Well, then he went and talked to the young folks. What do you all think I ought to do? His peers, the people he grew up with. What do you all think I ought to do? They say, well, we think you ought to double it and just really go at them and put a heavier burden on them. That's what we think we ought to do. And that's the advice and counsel he listened to. Didn't go well with him. And so we need to be careful the advice that we're listening to. The people that are talking to us, the people that love us, the people that care about us, those older folks, there's a lot of wisdom in older folks. There's a lot of wisdom there. My dad, as I was growing up, he'd take us, you know, always to the certain nursing homes and senior homes and retirement communities. And dad just has a real heart and a way with older people. But what I realized was all these older folks have some great things to say to me. I could learn a lot from them. I could avoid certain errors by listening to the older generation. And so do not discount that gray-headed individual or maybe that individual that lacks hair. And I'm not speaking of myself. I'm not old enough to merit your advice and your counsel, but there are others that are. And look to them for advice and ask them for advice and wisdom. Where there is no counsel, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Surround yourself and go to those folks who want to give you good advice and good counsel. You know who they are in your life. Many times God has given, and for me, I have wonderful parents. And Scripture has made it very clear to honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may belong upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. And so I honor them by asking advice and asking counsel. There are people in my chain of counsel that I go to regularly and ask, what do you think? You need to have that sort of person. If your parents are alive, find that individual. My pastor, well, of course, my pastor doubles as my dad, but I go to him too. But you have a pastor that loves you and cares about you. If you're struggling, go to him. Talk to him. And then pastors, there are people, you ought to have some solid deacons in your church. Some deacons, and I know we throw off on the deacons sometimes, and sometimes they're a good wet blanket. Sometimes they're a good correction. I'm just being honest, right? Sometimes deacons can help us along as pastors. They're closer. They want the success of the church. If they're deacons like Stephen, they're deacons that are full of the Holy Spirit. That's the kind of people you need in your church to surround yourself with to keep you from going awry. Surround yourself with good men that will always be willing and always have an open door that they can come in and share a word with you. Don't shut them off. And here's the problem I see, and sometimes I've done this. I will discover a direction, whether it be for the ministry or what we're going to do, and here's what I'll do. I'll go to somebody and ask advice, and here's what I'll say. Well, now, brother, the Lord has told me exactly what to do here, and He has shown me the path forward, and the Lord said I'm going to do this. Well, but I wanted to come to you and ask your advice on this. What do you think I ought to do? Well, that dear soul is not going to be able to say, well, I think the Lord is wrong on this matter, right? I mean, seriously, He's not going to, if you couch it in such, now, if the Lord has truly told you, I get it. But if you're trying to seek advice, don't go in first and say, now, the Lord has told me, now, what do you say? Well, probably better follow the Lord, I guess, brother, but be careful in the way you search for advice. The Scripture says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out, right? And so if you want good counsel, ask the right questions. Ask the right questions. And don't do it in such a way that you automatically wall off any advice or counsel that they could give you. That doesn't mean follow every single person's advice and listen to everything they say. But it does say draw out that counsel. Ask good questions. And be careful how you ask those questions. You know, for me, our ministry, I mean, we have so many things coming up in the future. And I have really sought the Lord. What is the next step in ministry? Because I want to do the next thing. We're 12 years in, and I've asked the Lord for 50 years, and so I only have 38 left if His time tarries. I mean, if time tarries, I only have 38 left, and I'm 38 years old. I better get on it. And so I'm looking for what's the next thing. And so there was an individual who said just recently, said, there's a house next to our church, and as a pastor, he says, we were thinking about buying it, and would you want to use it during session? And it's close to the state house, about 15 minutes away or so. And I thought, well, that's an interesting idea. We began to pray about it. Well, the deal fell through. Somebody else bought the house. But in the process of that, my heart for 12 years has been to have something close to the Capitol building so that we could invite people over. They can come over and have dinner with us during session. We can house them. They can stay with us and all of this. And that's been my desire. For 12 years I've been praying that. But I'm also very comfortable where I live. I love my home. I have a dream home. I have a beautiful barn. I could spend all day talking about a barn. I love barns, and it has nothing to do with my last name, I'm sure. And so, and I just have this passion for these. My last name is Barnes, for those of you who didn't know. And so, I love this place. And as we begin praying for what the Lord's direction is for us, I said, let's pray that the Lord, it may be separate from this particular place. What would the Lord have us do? And as we prayed, this just felt like the Lord was saying, are you willing to give up your home? Are you willing to give up your barn that has hand-hewn beams in it? It's pre-Civil War. It's gorgeous. We just re-sided it, re-roofed it, 40 feet tall, 50 feet long, 60 feet wide. It's wonderful. I told you I could tell you. I'll talk about it all day. I love my barn. Are you willing to give it up? And as I prayed, and as I prayed with my wife, we began to cry, and we brought the kids in. And my dreams, in one sense, began to fall apart because I told my wife it feels just so wrong and yet it feels so right. And so as we began to pray, you know, Corrie ten Boom, she says this about things. She says, don't hold too tightly to things. Otherwise, it really hurts when the Lord pries your fingers off of them. Don't hold too tightly. And here I am crying over a barn. Really? Here I am crying over a place, an inanimate object, and I'm crying because I don't want to leave it. And I recognize the Lord was asking me if I was willing to surrender. Let me just, as I'm telling this story, can I just weave in here, there is no greater counselor than the Holy Spirit as He whispers to your heart. Where no counsel is, the people fall. And as the Holy Spirit began to work on my heart and on my wife's heart, our kids' heart, we're all crying, we don't want to give up the house. And we surrendered to the Lord. Whatever you want, Lord. We began to look at houses in Indianapolis and we're just not city folk. We're just not. And we began to look at houses in Indianapolis and all the dreams were just going out the window. And Lord, really, we have to move here. We don't want to move here. That's just the last thing we want to do. And so, but the Lord just kept, and then several deals fell through, and I thought, oh, I'm going to get by on the Abraham ask. Where the Lord asked Abraham, are you willing to sacrifice? Abraham says, yes. And he's like, just kidding, got a ram in the bush, right? And I thought, that's what the Lord's going to do. All these deals falling through, and I was like, oh, I'm going to do one more, and I'm going to skate. I'm going to be able to get by saying, yes, Lord, I surrender, and I won't really have to give it up. Well, the last deal didn't fall through. And now we're moving to Indianapolis. I mean, 9.5 miles. Thank you, Pam. Appreciate that. But you see, it's not what I want. It's what He wants. And in my tears, as I was crying out to the great counselor, and I said, Lord, I've always wanted a log cabin. And I had just taken down a barn to put up a log cabin on my place. And I said, Lord, could I have a log cabin in heaven? You know, could I have something that heaven? If I'm not going to have it here, maybe heaven. But the Lord is so good. You know, Scripture, I love Isaiah 9:6, don't you? Yes, sir. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a son is born, unto us a child, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. I like the way, you know, increasingly as I'm out I'm in all these different places and I'm in the State House, and people use all sorts of versions in the State House of Scripture. It is amazing how often I can say, you know, that actually is a misrendering of the Word of God. Let me tell you what it actually says, and the King James gets it right every single time. Inevitably. I mean, they'll think it's wrong here. No, let me show you where it's actually right. And so if you look at that Isaiah 9:6, it says, He is wonderful. Now, I'm not saying but I like the punctuation. Comma. Wonderful stands on its own. He is wonderful. He exceeds my expectation. He is full of wonder. He is the definition of awesome. He is amazing. That's my God. He's wonderful. Comma, Counselor. And that sweet Holy Spirit, the way He whispers to my heart, is like nothing else I've ever experienced. And it just rings true that I am His and He is mine. I love that about the Lord. And even though I may give up the things that I don't want to give up, He has better things in store for me. Of that I am sure. What was it that Jim Elliot said, the missionary, ended up losing his life down in South America? He said, he is a fool who tries to gain what he cannot keep in order to gain what he cannot lose. And I messed it up. You know what I'm saying. It's foolish to try to hold on to the things of this world when the Lord has so much better for us over here. Can I give you a little bit of the rest of the story on the house? And it's just around the corner, actually. Right on 465 Post Road, Raymond. It is amazing. I didn't want to move to the country. I didn't want to move to the city. There's a little rural spot in Marion County there. I was driving by and the house was for sale for 40 acres. A house and five barns and a garage. I called the realtor. I said, what about if I buy the... Because the farmer won't want the house and the barns. The builder won't want five buildings and the barn and the house. I'll take all of that, 5 acres, for $100,000. The realtor laughed a little bit, and he said, well, I'll call them and I'll ask. They split Friday. We closed on a place in Marion County after all the negotiations. We closed on a place in Marion County. It's 9.6 miles from the state house, 15 minutes. 5 acres, 5 outbuildings, a garage, and a house for $100,000. Now, I couldn't do that. I couldn't manufacture that deal. Only God can do that. He is so good and exceeds my expectations. He is wonderful. He is the Counselor. He is the Almighty God. Oh, wow. Everything orchestrates at His will. And I want to be submissive to that sweet will of His. Because He has better plans than I do. I manufacture my plans. This is not what I had in my plans for the summer. I had different plans, but God had better ones. Man may plan his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And so as you're looking at this verse here again, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. It's a safe place to be. Right in the center of the Lord's will, surrounded by people that love you and give you good advice and counsel. And you listen to it. And then you'll have true and good success. That is another way that Brother Jimmy's message was amazing in that he said one line there as well about his brother that came and he listened to the words of his brother. And then he prayed and then he acted. Too often we see the burden, we act, and then we pray. Dear ones, that's the opposite of the way it needs to be. Our prayers should spur our action, not our action, our prayer. Because if I go and act, and I make a mess and say, Lord, please bless this mess. But if I pray first, then act, the Lord has a way of working things out better than I would have imagined. And so, gentlemen who are pastors here, listen to the advice and counsel of fellow pastors. You're here in fellowship with one another. Share your heart. Ask questions. What should I do in this situation? Inevitably, someone else has probably gone through the same thing you're going through. They've been there. They've done that. And they could have a word of encouragement for you, or they could have a word of sorrow with you. Sorry, brother, that you're going through such a mess. Isn't it great to have a brother that sits alongside you and cries with you? That's what this is about, gentlemen. It's about lifting one another up, about counseling one another, about giving one another good, solid advice. Don't forsake good advice. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And never forget the sweet counselor of the Holy Spirit.